For marketing agencies and social media managers looking to prove the value of their work, I've got something special for you. Agora Pulse is not only Social Media Examiner's tool of choice as an all-in-one social media management tool, it also allows you to track the traffic, conversion, and revenue from every social post, comment, and private message. Learn how to prove your social media ROI with a free training or a free trial by visiting agorapulse.com/SME today. Again, agorapulse.com/SME.
Welcome to the Social Media Marketing Podcast, helping you navigate the social media jungle. And now, here is your host, Michael Stelzner.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me for the Social Media Marketing Podcast brought to you by Social Media Examiner. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner, and this is the podcast for marketers and business owners who want to know how to navigate the ever-changing marketing jungle. Today, I'm going to be joined by Hala Taha, and we're going to explore how to use LinkedIn to increase your sales. Now, if you have been a little squeamish on LinkedIn, I think you're going to love today's podcast episode. Hala has a really fresh perspective on how to use LinkedIn in a really, really cool way. By the way, I'm at Stelzner on Facebook and at Mike_Stelzner on Twitter/X. If you're new to this podcast, be sure to follow this show on your favorite podcast apps so you don't miss any of our future content. Let's transition over to this week's interview with Hala Taha.
Helping you to simplify your social safari. Here is this week's expert guide.
Today, I'm very excited to be joined by Hala Taha. If you don't know who she is, she's a LinkedIn expert and CEO of Yap Media, a full-service marketing agency that helps entrepreneurs, influencers, and brands get more exposure and sales. She's also host of the Young and Profiting podcast. Her course is the LinkedIn Secrets Masterclass, and she's also the founder of the Yap Media Podcast Network. Hala, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Michael. I'm excited to be here.
Today, Hala and I are going to explore how to use LinkedIn to improve your sales. Now, before we go there, I want to hear a little bit of your backstory. How'd you get into marketing? How'd you get into LinkedIn? Start wherever you want to start.
Yeah, sure. So I guess a good place to start is college. I actually dropped out of college to take a job at Hot 97, which is a radio station. And at the time, it was the number one hip hop and R&B station in New York. And so I started as an intern, and then they asked me to come in every day, and I wasn't doing very well in my undergrad studies. And so I decided to drop out of school and just work at the radio station essentially for free for 3 years on the number one radio show in America. It was called the Angie Martinez Show. I ended up being Angie's assistant, and I started doing research for this show. I was answering phones, running the contest. And then I started actually being an on-air personality. They would feature me on the show. I would do commercials for the station and things like that. And then on the side, I had online radio shows with other up-and-coming DJs. So I did that for about 3 years. When a paid job opened up, they didn't give me the job. And I was very disappointed. And I—
Dang, wait, hold on a second. So you're working there for 3 years and your parents are probably like, what are you doing, right?
Oh, my parents were like, you are out of your mind, because all my siblings were in med school.
Right.
So they were like in residency in med school, and my dad's a doctor. And so like they always pushed education on us. And here I was working for free at a radio station. And I was trying to be a singer at the time, like writing songs and trying to push my music. And so I was totally the black sheep, but I was really passionate about it. And even though it seemed like I was just having a lot of fun, I was learning a lot. Like I was blogging on the side. I always talk about opportunity set A and opportunity set B in any sort of career that you have. And the opportunity set A was the job that I had, researching for all the different interviews that Angie was going to have, doing the contests, running the Dilette boards. That was my day job. But then on the side, I was doing these online radio shows. I was selling showcase tickets and hosting showcases for underground hip hop artists at night. I was blogging for DJ Enough and learned how to blog and build websites. I was doing social media on the side for hip hop festivals. And so I just like got all this experience basically trying to make money while working for free at the radio station. And so I was doing that for 3 years. It didn't pan out. They actually I don't know if you can fire somebody from an unpaid internship, but me and Angie got into like a little fight and she basically cut my key cards and told me never to come back. We made up afterwards, but everybody kind of cut me off for like 2 weeks. And then within that time period, I had decided, well, no one's going to blackball me from this industry. So I'm going to start my own thing. I'm going to start the Sorority of Hip Hop. And I'm going to recruit all the girls in the hip hop industry in the tri-state who aren't getting opportunities, because at this point in the industry, it was like pretty sexist, right? And so I felt like I'm going to empower all these girls and I'm going to start this website, the Sorority of Hip Hop. And so I went on Craigslist and Twitter and I recruited 12 girls in 2 weeks and I started this website. I went back to school and within 3 months, we were one of the most popular hip hop and R&B websites out there. And we started going viral on Twitter. I figured out how to hack Twitter. And MTV actually reached out to us to shoot a reality TV show.
Really?
Yeah. So they filmed us. First, they did a really small pilot. This was like the first 3 months of me launching this website. Nothing really panned out. But we started getting like so much notoriety. The same DJs that didn't give me a minimum wage job at the radio station then started to hire me and my company of 50 female bloggers to host parties. And so we became this like event slash blog company. 2 years later, MTV reached back out to us and was like, this is the real deal. This was right after the Jersey Shore ended. They basically signed me and 5 other girls and I was the lead. And like we went to the MTV studios. They got us a whole house on Broadway or an office on Broadway that they hooked up. And they must have spent, like we filmed all summer. They must have spent like $300,000 at least on this pilot. We did so much shooting. And then 2 weeks before they were going to air the show, they pulled the plug. So here I was like 27 years old. I almost was on Hot 97. They were basically priming me to be the next Angie Martinez on terrestrial radio. And I got fired. In between that, I almost got a job on Sirius XM as Sway in the Morning's co-host for 2 weeks. I was basically let go. Then MTV pulled the plug. Same thing. So I was feeling like I was just getting punched in the face, working for free for 6 years. And then I was like, okay, I got to just go back to the drawing board because this is clearly not working how I imagined. I keep getting all these at-bats because I was talented. I was smart. I was making big moves. You don't get opportunities like that if you're not smart or making big moves, you know? It was just the gatekeepers weren't really letting me through. And so I decided to just go back to the drawing board and I basically gave up. I was like, okay, I'm just going to be normal. Let me go get my MBA. I got a 4.0. I graduated number one in my class. And then I just went to corporate. I worked at Hewlett Packard and I got promoted 4 times in 4 years. And then I went to Disney Streaming Services. But my last year at Hewlett Packard, there was some internal opportunity. I was basically doing the same thing I did outside of corporate, this like personality that I was. I was just that at Hewlett Packard. So I was the girl that was interviewing the CEO at the town hall. And I was the girl that they sent to London and Spain to do all the hosting for all their conferences. And so I was doing the same thing, but just inside Hewlett Packard. And they didn't give me this opportunity. I was the Young Employee Network in New Jersey. I was the president of the Young Employee Network. I wanted to be the president of the Global Young Employee Network. They didn't give me that opportunity. The details don't matter, but I was upset. So I was like, okay, screw this. I'm not going to build their stuff anymore. I'm going to build my own thing. And that's when I started Young and Profiting Podcast. That was my last year of Hewlett Packard 6 years ago. And then now I'm the podcast princess. That's what they call me in the industry. I have a top 100 podcast called Young and Profiting. I launched a social agency called Yap Media 4 years ago. It's an award-winning social agency and podcast production agency. And then now 2 years ago, I launched Yap Media Podcast Network and we're a number one business and self-improvement podcast network. So all that hard work over the last 10 to 12 years resulted in where I am today.
That's awesome. Now, how does LinkedIn play into your story?
So when I started my podcast, I decided I was going to start my personal brand on LinkedIn. And I thought that LinkedIn would be the perfect place for me because first of all, on Instagram, I was pretty shadow banned because I'm Palestinian. And and so in 2014, I had been speaking out about some stuff and I got a little bit shadow banned on Instagram. And so I felt like, okay, first of all, everybody on Instagram, they're really focused on, you know, what I'm wearing, what I look like. They don't care about learning something new, educating themselves. Whereas LinkedIn was a platform where I felt like I could really shine because people want to learn. I had experience with LinkedIn because I was running it for different corporate accounts in the past, like Hewlett Packard, I was running their LinkedIn. And I just knew that there was so much opportunity. And if I was just consistent, that I could probably figure out how to hack LinkedIn the same way that I hacked Twitter back in the day, for example. And I did. I figured out how to master the algorithm. And now that's one of the things I'm known for, is being one of the top experts for LinkedIn.
Yeah. And just so people have some context, how big of a network have you been able to build? I'm assuming you're using your personal profile, right? Predominantly.
Yeah. On LinkedIn, I have about 242,000 followers on LinkedIn right now.
And how long have you been on LinkedIn?
6 years. I started it as soon as I started my podcast. I basically started my journey on LinkedIn.
And you're considered one of the top influencers or whatever in your category on LinkedIn. Is that correct?
Yes. And especially when you look at engagement. So there are people that have like 2 million followers from 20 years ago, but they're getting 30 likes on their posts, right? So full picture in terms of like visibility and profile impressions, I'm definitely one of the top influencers.
Well, first of all, it's super awesome to have you on the show. I love your energy already, and I'm sure everybody is super excited to hear what we're going to talk about next. So there are a lot of people listening right now who maybe aren't as focused on LinkedIn as they should. And you kind of hinted a little bit about why you chose to focus on LinkedIn, but what do you want to say to marketers right now who are not as focused on LinkedIn? Maybe they're all in on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, for example, or even YouTube, but maybe they're overlooking LinkedIn. Specifically for sales, like what's the big advantage for them?
Yeah, LinkedIn is such an awesome platform. First of all, people on LinkedIn have jobs. So what does that mean? They have money. People on LinkedIn on average make over $75,000 a year. That's number one. They're highly educated. They either have an undergrad or grad degree. They're also skewing a little bit older, not too old where they're not fun or don't want to do anything, right? They're in the prime buying years. So they're typically like 25 to 55 years old on LinkedIn. These are prime buying years. TikTok skews like younger than that. They can't afford anything on TikTok, right? Also, people are primed to have sales conversations on LinkedIn. So people are actually using LinkedIn in their buying journey. When they're looking to work with other companies, for example, they're looking up their sales reps on LinkedIn and they're trying to see like, do they have social proof? Do they have credibility? So they're actually doing research on LinkedIn and they are looking to educate themselves. They want to learn how to solve their problems. So they're already in this mode of learning and trying to figure out how to solve their own problems that they have in their own business or the company that they work at. And so they're open and receptive to having sales conversations. Whereas on Instagram, people are focused on what food somebody's eating or somebody's outfit or makeup or whatever their hobbies and interests are. It's not a work-related platform. So to have a sales conversation on Instagram or TikTok is not as appropriate as having it on LinkedIn. So those are a few of the reasons why your audience is a good candidate. You can find your audience in mass on LinkedIn and they're ready to have that conversation with you. The other thing is the opportunity in terms of visibility on LinkedIn. There's 135 million daily active users on LinkedIn and less than 6% of them, 5.2% of them actually create original content. So that means that there's not a lot of competition. There's lots of people reading LinkedIn, absorbing the content. They want to educate themselves. And only 6% of them, or less than 6% of them, I should say, actually create original content.
Very, very good. Very persuasive. So you've been active on LinkedIn for 6 years, as you mentioned earlier. From your perspective, what has changed with the algorithm? We're recording this in 2024. What kind of changes are you seeing now that maybe were different not so long ago?
Yeah, the algorithm changes very slowly over time. So not a ton has changed, but the main trend is that LinkedIn used to be prioritizing engagement probability. And now they are trending towards prioritizing interest relevancy. So I know these are like words that probably people have never heard of before. So let me kind of break it down. So engagement probability is basically LinkedIn has an algorithm that works like any other social media algorithm. And basically it's deciding whether or not it's going to serve content to users. And their goal is to keep users engaged and entertained on the site for as long as possible. Okay, that's one of their goals because LinkedIn, they sell ads, right? So very similar to TikTok or Instagram, they want to keep users on the site for as long as possible and entertained for as long as possible. So any user that does that is going to get rewarded. Now, the other business model that LinkedIn has that's very different from other social media apps is the fact that they have LinkedIn Talent Solutions. So they're competing with Indeed and ZipRecruiter, and they want to be positioned as a job hiring site. So they help employers find talent and employers pay them to use their job site, basically. And so they're also trying to brand themselves as a professional network. And so something that's unique with the LinkedIn algorithm is that the last stage of the algorithm is actually human editors that are monitoring the content to make sure it aligns with LinkedIn's editorial agenda to align with their topics of being professional, career, hiring, recruitment, entrepreneurship, any sort of topics that are in this lane, because they want to brand themselves as this professional network because they have LinkedIn Talent Solutions. They have that business model. So you always want to think about how these platforms are making money, right? And so back to your point of what's changed, right? So in the past, their algorithm, the main factor was engagement probability. So how likely is somebody going to engage on this post? And they were looking at many different factors. They were looking at the speed in which you got engagement. They were looking at your past performance as an author. How have you performed on LinkedIn in the past? They're looking at the user that they're deciding whether or not they're going to serve the content to. Have they engaged on your stuff in the past? Have you guys DM'd each other before? Have they shared your stuff in the past? And then they're figuring out probability if that person is going to engage or not. Now, they're more prioritizing interest relevancy. So they're not necessarily just thinking about how well has this author performed, has this user engaged with this specific author. It's more about the topic. So it's, is this user going to be interested in this topic? Has this user engaged on topics within this interest graph before? And basically now it's called interest graph algorithms. This is popular across all these different social networks now, where basically for every user, they have an interest graph. And they say, like, this user is interested in this topic, this topic, this topic, this topic. And they could be all different topics. And underneath those topics, there's subtopics that are within that realm. And so it's constantly deciding, you know, whether or not a user is going to want to consume this content. And LinkedIn's even going a step further where they're doing suggested posts now, where basically if somebody is on LinkedIn and they search financial advice, if they search that in the search bar, because LinkedIn is essentially like a Google search, you can search anything on LinkedIn. So let's say somebody searches up financial advice. LinkedIn might then serve them a post that was from 3 months ago that performed extremely well from a financial expert. So they've got keywords on their profile and LinkedIn has identified that author as a top voice in finance. They might then surface that post from 3 months ago as a suggested post in that person's feed so that it has more interest relevancy. So they're prioritizing giving people content that they want rather than virality and timeliness of a post.
This is such an interesting kind of macro trend that's been going on for like the last 18 months to 24 months, because if we think about YouTube, for example, right, in the olden days, the subscribers who saw your content, but over time, the YouTube algorithm began to show you things that thought you were interested in, regardless of whether you were a subscriber or not. And obviously we have the same thing with TikTok, the same thing with Reels. And we're moving away from a, hey, this is your network and you're interested in finding out from people in your network, towards, hey, this is like a platform, right? Like watching television, right? Where you're just going to see stuff that's going to keep you on platform, because I think they began to understand all the platforms that the retention is most important so that they can run ads towards you, right? So if they can provide really relevant content to you, regardless of whether it's in your network or not, that's going to keep you on the platform. They're going to make more money from that. Would you agree?
Totally agree. So it's like, to your point, this is how all the algorithms are shifting. It's all about serving interesting content to people so they can stay as long as possible on the site. And when you think about it, with like a platform like LinkedIn, especially, you go on LinkedIn, maybe you had a job 10 years ago, you're still connected to those people, even though like you didn't keep in touch. You don't care what necessarily they're up to. You care about the things that you care about, right? And so that's not going to foster engagement, seeing posts from people that you haven't talked to in 10 years ago. What's going to foster engagement is seeing posts that are relevant to your interests and helping you grow in your career and make money. The other thing to note is that in the past on LinkedIn, when I first started on LinkedIn, anything that was motivational and inspirational really did well. Like you could get away with putting up super fluffy content that was just really playing on human behavior, right? So things that are highly shareable. So let's say if you put up a quote that went viral on Instagram, you put it up on LinkedIn and you know that it's something that people really resonate with, people would share it and that would make you go viral. And so for the first 3 years of my LinkedIn journey, it was all about posting super inspirational, shareable, motivational content. Even like the first, I would say 4 or 5 years, like it was like that for a long time. And that's why you saw like a lot of fluffy content on LinkedIn, where it was just this like very like high level, fluffy, motivational content with like a picture, and it would always go viral, right? Now it's more about having keywords in your posts with meaningful content, right? And you've got to match keywords across the whole landscape. So for example, you need to have keywords on your profile. So let's take that financial example again. So if you're a financial expert, in your title, you've got to have financial keywords. In your past work experiences, you need to have different financial keywords. In your bio, you need to have financial keywords. And then your posts need to have certain keywords in them. And then they're going to basically match those keywords in your posts and content with other users who have those keywords in their profiles and have engaged on content with those similar keywords. So it's like you need to be really strategic about the keywords that you've infused on your profile, because that's basically how LinkedIn is going to identify you as an expert. And so, for example, if you're a financial expert, but then one day you start talking about real estate, LinkedIn's actually not going to serve your post to many people because they're not going to find that you have the author expertise, and they don't want to serve content to people from people who aren't experts about the content.
AI has been a massive disruptive force over the past year. That's why we're excited to announce our brand new show, introducing AI Explored. It's a weekly show hosted by me, Michael Stelzner. If you want to understand how to put AI to work, this is the show for you. Each week, we'll dive deep into using AI to your advantage. We're talking the practical, tactical stuff that I know you're probably craving. Search for AI Explored on your favorite podcast app, and happy listening. Very cool. All right. So let's say that we, who's listening right now, want to target people on LinkedIn that are our ideal prospects. But how do we find them? We just talked about how they might find us with the keyword stuff, but how do we actually find the audience that we want to find on the social platform so that we can ultimately get to a sale?
This is such a great question. So I always talk about how LinkedIn is the best platform to find your audience in mass. And that's because LinkedIn has features that other platforms simply do not. First of all, they have searchable attributes. So basically every input that a user puts on their profile page is searchable. So you can do free keyword search, which essentially just searches anything on their page, which I use all the time. And for that, you can search like titles, right? So you can search like vice president of whatever the niche is.
Marketing, vice president of marketing.
Yeah, vice president of marketing, whatever it is. Then you can search location. You can search past companies. There's so many different attributes that you can pick from that LinkedIn gives you those search capabilities. Like I said, LinkedIn is basically like Google. They've got free search and then they have different categories. Like I said, like company, location, and so on, where you can search. Also like universities, you can search by that. So there's lots of different ways by the attributes to search. Then you've got behavioral ways that you can target people. So the actions that they take on LinkedIn, which would be like signing up to certain groups, and you can search groups by different keywords on LinkedIn. What events have they signed up? And again, you can search through all the different events and then you can see who signed up for those events. So if somebody's interested in social media or you're selling something for social media, you could look up social media groups and find your audience en masse that way. You could look up events about social media and find your audience en masse that way. They're basically raising their hand and saying, hey, I'm interested in this topic because I proactively signed up to this group. The other way that you can find audience members en masse is by looking at lookalike profiles. So this is something that I talk a lot about in my masterclass. And lookalike profiles are somebody who has the same audience that you want. And it's not exactly a competitor, because sometimes people share the same audience, but they're actually not competitors. So it's just somebody who has a similar audience that you want. You want to go look at their recent posts. Anybody who recently liked or commented or shared on their post is basically saying, hey, I am active on LinkedIn, which is very important. We can get to that if you'd like. I take viral action, which is also very important, right? And if they are talking about similar things, I'm interested in similar topics. So that's a great way to find exactly who you want to pull into your network. And when it comes to finding your audience en masse, one of the key things to understand is the way that you found them is the way that you want to actually approach them in the invites and the DMs.
Real quick, before we get to the invites and the DMs, I got a couple of clarifying questions. So on this behavioral side, is this also free or does this cost money as far as like finding people who just signed up for a group or finding people who have RSVP'd for an event or, you know, this lookalike stuff? Is this all something you have to do with paid ads or is this free?
No, this is all free. This is all free. Almost everything that I teach is totally free version of the platform.
Okay. So if we go to specifically what you're calling lookalike profiles, I think what I heard you say is you can go out there and find someone maybe who is an influencer in your industry, and you can see who's commenting specifically on their post. And then you can essentially message those people. Is that kind of where we're going with that?
Exactly. So I'll give you an example. This is actually how I grew my profile and how I grow my clients' profiles. So Gary Vee, who I actually interviewed in person last week, which is a really big full circle moment for me. Gary Vee was somebody who I was really obsessed with when I first started on LinkedIn. He was already crushing it on LinkedIn. We were both in marketing. We both had a podcast. We both spoke up to entrepreneurs and tried to be motivational and inspirational. And so I was just starting out. I had no following. And I was like, okay, if these people like Gary Vee's stuff, they're going to like mine. I think he has the best audience for me. And so I would go on his page. And at the time, I had no idea how the algorithm worked. I was just being scrappy, right? So at the time, I went to his page and I saw anybody who liked and commented. And I sent the people an invite. And I said, hey, my name is Hala. I noticed that you engage with Gary Vee. If you like his podcast and content, you'll like mine too. I'd love to provide value on my feed. Now, 9 out of 10 people would accept this. And then when I'd comment on Gary Vee's post, I'd always get like 100 likes on my comments and be like the top comment that got me even more visibility. And then what happened is that I just started to acquire a lot of his fans, and his fans started to then engage on my posts. What I didn't realize then that I now know is that DMing someone is the highest viral action on LinkedIn. If you DM somebody, they're 85% more likely to see your next post. And so basically what I was doing is I was acquiring all of Gary Vee's followers by sending them an invite. I was very innovative. Like at the time, nobody was doing this. So everybody was responding back to me and was sort of like on my side, like, oh, sure. Like, I'd love to join your network. At that time, like this was 6 years ago, like nobody was doing that. So I was very unique and people were DMing me back because they weren't getting a lot of messages like this.
Right.
So what would happen? They started all seeing my stuff. Then all of a sudden, all of Gary Vee's fans were now making me go viral.
Okay. So here's a crazy question. Does this matter still today?
Yeah. I still do it for my clients today.
Okay, because we talked about earlier how the algorithm has changed a little bit, right? Where it used to be about engagement and now it's more about interest topics, right? But it still does work is what you're saying, right?
It still does work. And like I said, the algorithm changes very slowly over time.
Got it.
So engagement probability and all the steps in the algorithm are almost the same. It's just that there's like one more layer to it now,
got it,
which is interest relevancy. And now overall impressions are just more down. So in the past, my post might get like millions of views, literally. Now it's like 100,000 views is a good post. It's just that everything is scaling differently now, but it still really matters. You still need to get viral action. LinkedIn is judging that very heavily to make sure that it's entertaining, good content still.
Okay. So we're following along on your process and we've identified a bunch of people that are interacting with someone we love like Gary Vaynerchuk or their new signups inside of a group or any other of the things we've talked about. How do you recommend we go about like tracking all this stuff? Do you just do all this on your mobile phone? Are you doing it from LinkedIn desktop? Do you have a spreadsheet? Before we even reach out to them, like, is there some sort of a process that you go through, or do you just kind of like instinctively do this like on your mobile phone all day long?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Now I have a huge team. It's a whole different situation. I always am just super transparent. So there's lots of ways that you can do this. There's automation tools. Now, one thing to note is that it is against LinkedIn's terms of service to use automation tools, but a lot of people do use them. And there's automation tools that essentially let you have a CRM attached to your DM messages where you can track, you can create audience lists, you can do all those kinds of things if you're willing to take the risk of using automation, which is against terms of service. So if you get caught, your account could get deleted. So I don't do that. Okay. And I don't do that for any of my clients, but that is the most organized way to do it. But it's just very risky, especially if you're an influencer. You don't want to risk losing your whole profile. Now, another way to do this, if you don't want to do it on your own, would be to get virtual assistants. Now, on LinkedIn, you need to be careful with the virtual assistants because technically you are the only person who's allowed to log into your LinkedIn.
So you're sharing your login with the virtual assistant.
You're sharing your login with a virtual assistant. So you need to trust that person, number one. Number two, ideally, it's like a relative or an intern or a family member or a college student who lives locally, because you don't want to flag that it's somebody who's outside of your state. And if they're not local, you need to use a residential VPN so that they can log in via your city so that there's no red flags on LinkedIn. As long as you use a residential VPN or it's somebody local, you're good. And you can have somebody assist you. And lots of people have assistance on LinkedIn. And that's way more of like a slap on the wrist than it is using an automation tool. Okay.
Let's assume you're doing it yourself. Let's just start with this hypothesis. So let's assume we're not yet to the point where we're going to have a virtual assistant doing this. We're going to try it out on our own. Do you just recommend pretty much just using LinkedIn to manage the entire process?
I did when I was managing it on my own, because they have like things like starred messages. The other thing that you can do that I used to do is I would just write like hashtag and then like basically like something for me to remember.
Oh, you would add a hashtag to the message so it's searchable?
I would add a hashtag to a message and then you can search your hashtag. So like I would do that all the time. Let's say it was a sponsored DM or something and I was doing like a constant contact campaign. I would just like hashtag constant contact or hashtag CC or something like this. And then I could search that in my DMs and then find everybody that I messaged about that. So you could do that. You can star your messages, which is really helpful. And then also just keeping a spreadsheet. So my team does this now, the virtual assistants, they'll keep spreadsheets of certain campaigns and so on. But a lot of this is just more routine. It's getting into the flow of sending invites every day, checking your new connections every day, sending them a new message every day. And it's more of like having like a daily flow, rather than like necessarily keeping track of everything so sternly.
Let's talk a little bit about what should be the substance of that message, that first message. I know you gave an example earlier, but how would you recommend, let's say somebody was reaching out to me or to you on LinkedIn, right? What would be a good way of getting through to somebody like us?
Now, first off, what you need to think about is, are they a first or second connection, right? So there's all these different degrees of connections on LinkedIn. There's first connections, which means that you can DM them, okay? Second and third connections, you have to invite them first and then you can DM them. It's like slightly a different process. Now, when it comes to invites, let's say it's second and third connections. If you're going on a lookalike profile and you're finding people, it's most likely they're going to be second and third connections, meaning you have to send an invite with a personalized note and then get them to accept the invite so that you can then DM them. So if you want somebody to accept your invite, you better be likable, okay? And so I always talk about the laws of likability. So what makes you likable? People like people who are similar to them, who share common interests, who have shared identities, who give them compliments, who ask them for advice, right? So these are some of the things that make you likable. Now, when it comes to common ground and basically having like shared identity, a lot of the times it's going to be the way that you found them. So let's say I found somebody from Gary Vee. I noticed that you engage with Gary Vee's content. Let's say I found somebody from an event. I noticed that you registered for this social media event. I noticed that you're interested in this social media topic, right? Or let's say you want to give somebody a compliment. I noticed that you're a strong female in the finance space, and I'd love to connect with a like-minded person. I noticed that you're also a fellow NYU alumni. I'd love to connect.
Now, I have to just jump in here and tell everyone, get it right, because I can tell you, I've had people say to me, I noticed you're an agency owner, even though I don't own an agency, right? You can't just like, it's not one size fits all, right? You've got to make sure you get it right, because the moment you get it wrong is the moment they're going to like, I don't know, spam. I don't even know. Can they report you as spam? I mean, they can, right? Or are they just going to ignore you? I don't know how that even works with invites.
I think they can ignore you, but it impacts you. You actually have like an acceptance rate for your invites. And the higher your acceptance rate, the more that LinkedIn's going to allow you to send more invites.
Okay. Yeah. So get it right is my key message, right? Because I've gotten so many of these kinds of messages like you're talking about across all the social platforms, where they'll say things like, I noticed you're into the dental industry, which is totally not true at all. You know what I mean? It's like clearly somebody on somebody's team is not even paying attention. So how do you even find these common ground things? Like, is it just looking at their personal profiles? What do you recommend?
Well, like I said, it's the way that you found them typically.
Okay.
So we're looking up titles of social media managers. Hey, I noticed that you're a social media manager and I thought you may be interested in XYZ. Now, something else that I want to note is that you typically, when you're reaching out to somebody, you want to open up with common ground. Like I said, you want to use the law of likability. So you want to ask them a question, you want to give them advice. But the other thing that you want to do, especially once they accept your invite, is that you want to offer something of value. So it's like you want to think hook, help, 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 right? So how are you going to provide value to them? And so usually you want to give them some sort of lead magnet, some sort of your best thing that you have for free that you can give them that helps them with whatever is related to what you were just talking about. So again, with a social, hey, I noticed that you're a social media manager. I'd love to give you my free LinkedIn cheat sheet. Okay.
Yeah.
And that is always going to be great because basically you're providing value and you're building up your social currency. The other thing it does is that usually you're taking them off platform where they have to fill in their name and their email, and then you're able to retarget them on email. So now you've got them in two places, which is a stronger position. And then you want to keep the conversation going and just keep adding value. So maybe the next message is inviting them to a mid-funnel activity, like a webinar, where you're going to give them a free training. So you want to just bring them down the funnel and then eventually off platform so you can make the sale.
Okay, we're going to get into that in just a second, but I do have a couple of questions on the invite itself.
Okay.
It's only text, right? We cannot attach video and audio to an invite, or can we attach video and audio?
I don't think you can, but in DMs you can.
Yeah, because what I was thinking is it would be amazing. Like I know on Messenger, for example, I've had people make me videos, right? And I've had the same thing happen on Twitter. They don't allow that with invites, but I would imagine one thing you could give to someone is, for example, if you're like a consultant or something like that, you could give them some free feedback on their website with screen capture, that kind of stuff, right? I mean, like that's the kind of stuff where when you say help, 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 I mean, but I do like marketers sometimes, their little signals come up when they sense, marketers are really good at sensing other marketers. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
We have this skill where we can sniff out salespeople and marketers. And if you want to provide something of value, I would imagine just saying, listen to my podcast, or can I send you a free PDF, isn't probably going to be enough because everybody's doing it, or is it? I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
It works for me. And just by the way, you can put links in the invite.
Okay, there you go.
So you can link out. So you can link out to a video, you can link out to something.
Oh, so it could be an unlisted YouTube video specifically if you wanted to, right?
You could. Yeah,
okay.
You could.
Okay.
But in the invite specifically, we usually don't go straight to giving value.
That's why I was curious, like why not give it to them right out of the gate?
It's more about having common ground and just establishing like, hey, I found you in a relevant way. And I have something meaningful to share to you. Like there's relevancy here. That's the goal of the invite message. Like there's relevancy, there's common ground, there's a reason why I'm reaching out to you. And you're going to use all those different tactics, like I said, whether it's giving somebody a compliment, whether it's asking them for advice. And just usually people will accept it because they'll be like, oh, this is a relevant contact, you know? And if it is, and if it's not, to your point, if you didn't do good research, they're going to ignore you and it's not going to be accepted. Then I think after that, the first message is really, hi, nice to meet you. Here's a little bit more about me. Would love to learn more about you. And here is this free resource because I think you might like this. And this is something else that I teach. If you want the door slammed in your face right away, you do that if you're too direct. Like if you're too direct and if I said, hey, I know you're going to like this. I know you're going to love to be my customer. I know you're going to love to come to my webinar. People's first response is going to want to prove you wrong. And they're going to be, no, you don't know me. Who are you?
So you say you might like this. Is that kind of the idea?
You seem like somebody who might like this.
Right.
I saw that you did this and I think you may like XYZ. So you make it seem like, hey, based on this behavior that you took or based on this attribute of your profile, I think you may like this. And I'd love to give this to you. Like, let me know how you like it, right? And you always want to end with some sort of question to just keep the conversation going, right? That's like a really big hack, is like just being a little bit more passive because it comes off as more polite. And then you're not aggressive then. You're just seeming like somebody who's just trying to help them rather than something somebody who's trying to like push something on them.
Okay, so the objective of the invite on LinkedIn is to get the connection established, right? And once that connection is established, then you can continue to direct message them in the style that you're talking about, which is providing more and more help. So you've referred to top funnel, mid funnel, etc. So talk us through, we've done this, they've accepted our connection, we've sent this first message, we've been just, hey, I think we'd connect well together because we seem to share something in common on this. and I've got some great stuff I'd love to share with you. And then they accept the connection. And then how do we take that now and work down the funnel?
Yeah. So you want to first usually introduce yourself very briefly. Like, don't, this is not about you. This is about them. Okay. So that's first of all. So like very briefly introduce yourself, but in the context of how you could help them or how you help other people, how you serve other people.
Post invite, right? This is your second message.
Or this is the second message.
Okay.
Then you're going to want to give them something free. And typically when you're thinking about your lead magnets, you want to think about what is it that you produce for your own clients that they love? What is the best things that you have out there? A lot of people like to keep their best stuff close to their belt, but that's totally the wrong way to think about it. Because if you give somebody something exceptional for free, they're going to be, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine what the paid thing is for. So they're going to be way more bought into you. So you want to think about what is it that you can create lead magnets from. And these top funnel lead magnets are typically either like an ebook or it could be like a quiz.
Are we sending them off platform to get this stuff?
Yes. Usually it's a page, like a gated asset page, where basically people have to put their name and their email. So again, it's like usually an ebook or a white paper or quiz. Like there's like these apps now where you can like create quizzes really easily or calculators really easily. And you can create tools that solve people's problems. It could be a cheat sheet like I was talking about before, right? So you send them to a web page. Now, these web pages are super easy to create. And you can either create them on your actual WordPress site, or you can create them on your email service provider. So like if you have MailChimp or Constant Contact, they also create pages like this, because it's a lot of the times how people get their email list is through these lead magnets, right? That's how you grow your list typically. And so your first message should really be bringing people to download a free resource that you're really proud of that you think can help solve their problem. Now you've got their email where you can retarget them on email, and now you've helped them. So you've built your social currency. Then you want to end with a question. If you're giving them a free resource, a good one is, let me know how you like it. Okay.
Okay.
Typically, people will respond back and be like, hey, thank you so much. It was so valuable. Then you can move to the next message, where typically you're going to want to invite them to the next thing. Where's the next place to warm them up? So maybe it's, if you like this, I'd love to do an evaluation of your actual profile. And why don't we hop on a free call? You know, you could do like a free coaching call. That's a mid-funnel activity. Anything that is two-way communication. You could also invite them to a webinar where you give like a free training, and then maybe you talk about your offer in the webinar towards the end of the webinar after you've given some value. And you basically want to invite them to the next layer of your funnel, which is going to warm them up. So how are you going to just like let them get to know everything that you have to offer and give them more actual face-to-face time with you, especially if you're the one who's selling services, to then close them later on? And let's say you bring them to the coaching call or the webinar, then you can then close them. Like they're already off platform in front of you, right? So then you just want to close them.
Okay, a couple of thoughts going through my head. I know it's hard to get people off platform. And I know that it might be hard to get someone to go to a website and then realize I've got to put in their contact information. Does it ever make sense to do this completely on LinkedIn and not send them off platform and just give them the PDF or give them, you know, whatever, ungated? What's your thoughts on this?
I have done that before, but I think that you should strive to give them a gated asset. The free content, the totally free content, can be on your feed.
Okay.
And once you start DMing them, they're going to start seeing your free feed content. So your feed content is free. And then I would gate your other assets, because it's really important. Honestly, like as I've been an entrepreneur for longer and longer, it's become more and more apparent, like emails is where it's at,
right,
you know,
right.
And like these social platforms can take everything away from you. You don't own it. You know what I'm saying? So getting those emails is really important. Even if it's a slower game, it's going to be better in the long run.
Well, and I would imagine you could even say, hey, give me your email address and I'll email it to you, right? I mean, that's an option you could do as well. Do they even have, is there like things like ManyChat that work with LinkedIn, or are they not there yet? You know what I mean by this?
They do have automation tools. So it's called Linked Helper. There's Duck Soup. But again, it's against terms of service.
Ah, I see. So they have not yet opened that up like they have on Instagram.
Yeah.
Got it.
But for example, like if you use Linked Helper, remember that lookalike profile thing that I was telling you about? You can actually like download everybody who liked on something, download everybody who commented on something, and then automatically send them messages. So it does really automate things, but it's risky.
This has been Absolutely fascinating. And I knew I had a lot of questions, and I know we've just scratched the surface of what you've got to offer. So my first question for you, Hala, is if people want to connect with you on the socials, I'm guessing it's LinkedIn, but you can say what your preferred social platform is. And if they want to learn more about your business and all the great things you got going on, where do you want to send them?
Yeah, 100%. So I am on LinkedIn and Instagram. So LinkedIn, just search my name. It's Hala Taha. Instagram, it's at Yap with Hala. So very active on both platforms. And then my podcast, of course, is called Young and Profiting. Would love everybody to tune into that. It's not just a marketing show. It's more of an entrepreneurship show. We talk all about how to make your life better. I interview the brightest minds in the world. Like I just said, I interviewed Gary Vee, and I've interviewed every big business self-improvement person that you can imagine. I love my show and I work really hard on it. And then in terms of learning from me, I have a LinkedIn masterclass that I do every other month or so. You can go to yapmedia.io/course if you want to check out the next class dates. It's a 2-day workshop with me. I teach you everything that I teach my own team of how to run our clients' LinkedIn. And it's very, very comprehensive. So walking you through how to create your personal brand, walking you through the psychology of design, copywriting, the algorithm, publishing and engagement strategies, content strategy, sales and DM funnels and things like that. So it's very, very comprehensive. It's a 2-day workshop. Again, it's yapmedia.io/course. I have an agency and a podcast network, and you can go to yapmedia.io if you want to learn about that.
Hala Taha, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your insights with us.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Hey, if you missed anything, we took all the notes for you over at socialmediaexaminer.com/614. If you're new to the show, be sure to follow us. If you've been a longtime listener, would you let your friends know about this show? I'm at Stelzner on Facebook, at Mike_Stelzner on Twitter/X. And do check out our other shows, The Marketing Agency Show and The Social Media Marketing Talk Show. This brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Social Media Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner. I'll be back with you next week. I hope you make the best out of your day, and may your marketing journey keep evolving.
The Social Media Marketing Podcast is a production of Social Media Examiner.
If you're like so many fellow marketers and creators and entrepreneurs, you're probably wondering, how do I put AI to work? Well, be sure to listen to the AI Explored podcast, a new show from Social Media Examiner, hosted by yours truly, Michael Stelzner. Again, check out the AI Explored podcast.